Cue the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're out here.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, that's sending a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to a very special edition of Shooter Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and I've got two co-hosts this evening. The reason why it's extra special is because these two gentlemen have been regulars on Shooter Defence, but they've never actually spoken on the show before, actually, prior to this phone conversation. It's Rodri Giggs and LT. Rod, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. You?
Yeah, all good, mate. Are you glad to be back on that golf course?
Yeah, it's a fucking nice and tanned. Done it every single day since we've been back.
I didn't think you were the kind of person to go and look for a tan, Rod.
Well, you got to enjoy the sun, haven't you? You don't get much in Manchester. It's been cloudless for a few weeks now. I don't know what's going on.
See? COVID does have its positives, I guess. Who am I kidding?
Cracking the flags, it is. It's in for next week as well, so yeah, you've got to enjoy it, haven't you?
Lovely. All right, Mr. Taylor, how's it going?
Hello, son. How are you?
Yeah, all good, mate. Yourself?
Very, very well. Very well. Just come off the golf course, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yes, with the legend, TT. So, he's back from India.
Okay.
And he managed to get back on a flight and get back. So, obviously, went over to the homeland today and had a nice 18 holes with him, which was nice to get back. So, nice tan, bosh, sorted.
There you go, golfing and tanning. That's not going to be the theme of this show, I hope. Shall we start putting a few noses out of joint? Because I'm in one of those mischievous moods this evening. It's been one of those weeks where everything seems to be going very, very well. So I know that one show could actually turn things on its fucking head. But bollocks to it. It doesn't matter. Let's go. So what's the first thing on the agenda, LT? Shall we talk about mental health that's been discussed freely in the past couple of weeks?
Absolutely, mate. You're the rigger and I'm the trigger, mate.
All right. Well, look, any day, we know it's a serious subject. We know a lot of people are outspoken about it, which is great because there's always been a stigma attached to mental health and men obviously haven't had the confidence to speak up about it. And I admire those who are very comfortable discussing it, being open about it. But then on the flip side, especially in 2020, the way that social media is, you have a lot of people that use that as a vehicle to kind of get some notoriety or get some extra followers and et cetera, see how it works. You being in the game for almost three decades, I'm sure you've seen a lot of ups and downs. I'm sure Rod has as well. But given your experiences, people you've spoken to, what can you say about this situation?
I think you're right, what you're saying to start with, mate, with people in the media that just, they've just got what I call phone zombie and have their phones stuck to their face with sellotape 24 hours a day. And don't have a life and don't do the simple things that people should do, whether you're in professional sport or you're not. But you're right in saying that people jump on it as a vehicle, as a as something to get a noise from, so they can get a like or a subscribe or something like that, because they're fucking morons. So yeah, I get that. And do you know what? How many footballers do it now? And how many footballers and athletes do it, right? And during this, and there's nothing fucking wrong with them, by the way. There's nothing wrong with them, but they do it. And there's people that I could say back in the 90s when it weren't even heard of. And I'll tell you one, because he's very open about it. Lee Palmer. Lee Palmer was at Cambridge United Football Club. My dad was a manager there. I wasn't there. I was at another club. I forget where I was at the time. But he suffered. He went into a mental breakdown and everything. And he's very open about it. And he promotes the mental health thing and all that. As well as I do, but that's for different reasons. And but this I'm talking about, this was like 90s, not even 2000s. And the poor sod never got no help at all. Do you know what I mean? So it weren't even heard of then. It was like, he ain't playing, he's not in the team, he's having a bit of a barney with his missus, and he's not all there, bless him. Well, that ain't the picture, is it? It's not the truth, as we know now. But listen, I'm going to digress now, and it all goes back to going to school when we were kids. Me, Rod, you, we go to school, and we. Some of us were better at sport. Some of us were good at woodwork and manual things. And then there was other fucking people that were just swallowing books and fucking remembering everything, but shit at sport. So, but we were the ones that were classed as dyslexic, because I was diagnosed as dyslexic when I was 28 years old.
Bloody hell, so late.
Yeah. I know, and I struggled through school and blah blah blah, but I always got through because you were good at sport, and you weren't thick because you was a geezer. You could play football. You was in the cricket. You was the captain of the football, the cricket, the basketball. Even though I was a fucking midget, so you're all over the place. Do you know what I mean? But then all of a sudden, you get this thing. Where the dyslexia comes in, and all of a sudden where kids went into a rut because they were bullied because they were thick. Well, they weren't thick, they had dyslexia, and they had like an educational kind of like what's
obstacle.
The word I'm looking for?
Obstacle?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and you had all these bits and pieces. But this all amalgamated into kind of like a mental health issue, because they used to go into this dark hole. And if they did do sport and they weren't very bright and they went into a dark hole, but they could be unbelievable at other things. And it went into that. So, obviously going into football... No one understood the mental health aspects of everything. And no one understood about, most footballers, and I'm being deadly serious, couldn't read or write. Right? Couldn't read or write. The best footballers in the world couldn't read or write. I'm talking about back in the day, that things evolve, you know, through the PFA, which is great. But the big thing is, everything comes to a head, doesn't it? But everyone used to just kind of bypass it and kind of like forget it and say, right, you're thick, you're over there, but you're a good footballer, so you're all right. But you're thick, so you can stay over there because you can't play fucking football, or you can't play sport, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. But they might be a fucking rocket scientist. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird thing, this mental health law. So, getting back to what we were saying about in the media now, if people understood where it was then, yeah, then we'd have a better understanding and a more forthright way of going forward with it, which I believe we should do. But now what's happened is you get all these fucking people that and athletes and footballers now that jump on the bandwagon and want to do fucking 21 fucking press-ups on fucking Facebook and then spread it to raise mental health awareness. What the fuck's that going to do, doing a fucking press-up? Sorry, I'm not being funny, but what's that going to do? Do you know what I mean? Let the PFA and the FA fucking drive something to help people with counselling and other bits and pieces. A fucking press up going to do? It's all for people's fucking likes, subscribing and all that bollocks. We've all got the social media lot, but we use it for a business or something to push. But for something like that, that's bullshit. And for some of the pros out there that have been in it, and some at a championship level, even Premier League, it embarrasses me. I'm embarrassed for them. I'm totally embarrassed for them. And they've got lots of money, but I'm embarrassed for them to do it. They don't have to do it. And at the end of the day, why not try and help things going forward rather than fucking doing fucking 21 press-ups? I'm fucking, do you know? It's honestly, it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for my peers out there. It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But there you go. That's just one part. I think that's just one branch of the tree that we can talk about on it.
All right, Rod. What's your take on that branch, so to speak? Do you agree with what LT's been saying?
Yeah, I think you speak to the wrong people for mental health. We grew up with a different generation. There's a lot of snowflake about these days, isn't there? So, you know, we didn't, like, we didn't have to deal with all the stuff the kids have to deal with today. We was out playing football, climbing trees, building tree houses, doing God knows what we want. Sitting in our bedroom, robbing people and robbing people's cars and going robbing banks and stuff on a fucking game. So this is where the generation is at. So, it's the wrong person speaking to. I just don't, you know, I've never seen a psychologist, never spoke to anyone, never always dealt with my issues internally. Speak to people that I trust and get their opinion on, you know, but some people haven't got that. So I understand it, but yeah, speak to the wrong person.
See, the thing is, I don't have a problem with people talking to therapists and whatnot, because, I mean, if you don't have the confidence to speak to someone that's close to you, or maybe you don't want to divulge certain things to them...
Fine. Yeah, there's serious stuff that needs psychology, but some of it, you know... No, it's just not for me, but obviously some of it, like serious stuff like child abuse or rape or no serious stuff like that, but you know, just some of the stuff that people see psychologists for, just think it's just over the top.
Well, do you know what? I think the worrying thing or the alarming thing for me is how whenever, you know, a big name footballer gets into a bit of trouble, like Kyle Walker, for example, you know, he went to visit his a relative, and then he had the media following him, and then all of a sudden he suffers from mental health. Well, hang about, you weren't suffering from mental health when you were having house parties during lockdown a few weeks ago. You weren't having mental health when you joined City from Spurs and got a hell of a lot of abuse. So how come all of a sudden he's got mental health issues? I don't understand. I mean, obviously some people don't want to discuss it until the right time, but it just seems a little bit convenient where it's like, well, just blame mental health and just say, you know what, leave me alone, I've got mental health issues, and that means that the media will back off me and I can continue doing what I've got to do. I don't know, it just seems convenient.
Yeah, well, there's certain people like Kyle Walker, they bring it on themselves. They just do. They bring it on themselves, like his actions, and then he's obviously got... But I've seen Kyle Walker, you know, I've been out and been out in town and been out in places and seen a lot of footballers. He is the only footballer I've seen in a nightclub with a rucksack on and a hoodie with his hood up. He's an idiot. So he just brings things on himself. So, you know, and he's got a minder with him. He's an idiot. Let's have it right. So he brought it on himself.
Is this prior to him joining City, or was this during his Spurs days?
No, this was about a year ago.
Yeah. LT, as I said, big name player, Kyle Walker. You've worked with a hell of a lot of big name players, as you mentioned, World Cup winners, You were in India, working under David Platt with some phenomenal footballers. In fact, you were at Liverpool under Benitez. Did you have any inkling as to which player had mental health issues or just by their behaviour?
No, not really.
No.
I've got to go back to what Rod said. Some people, right, and I'll disagree with you here, some people don't know how to talk. They haven't got people to talk to. Some players, I mean, I'm not being funny. You go, I've been from international level down to the League Two. Okay, so I've done it. I've done every league, which I'm pleased about, because I can say that I've been from the bottom to the top, top to the bottom, and then up, and then working my way back up again, and abroad. But some people, Rod, they don't have people to talk to, mate. Do you know what I mean? And I know. Listen, I appreciate everything you're saying, and I respect everything you're saying, but some people can't deal with things and they don't have anyone around them that they can speak to. Do you know what I mean?
And then type of people attract yes men. So that's no good for me either.
Say that again.
And these type of people attract yes men as well, and that's no good for me either.
No, they're not fucking yes men at all, bruv. I'm talking about people that are players that have left their wives, and they're not big players, and at the end of the day they're fucking insular players that they've got nothing about them whatsoever, and they've got no one to talk to. Do you know what I mean? And then they go in this kind of like bubble, their own bubble, and they explode, which is quite sad, really. This is I'm going back 90s, early 2000s, because now it's totally different. People are doing it for a different reason. Listen, Rod, I did 4 tours in Afghanistan, so no one can tell me nothing about fucking anything. Do you know what I mean? It's on that sort of level. But these players back then, they didn't have no one to talk to. If they couldn't talk to family, it was unheard of. It was like a taboo subject then. So for you to say and turn around and say, I'm not having that, you might have had a lot of people that you could talk to and bounce things about.
I'm not talking a lot of people. I'm talking one person. That's all I needed. I didn't have to speak to. You're talking about people who've gone in war zones, or some people. Yeah, they haven't. I think you're just getting the total wrong end of the stick. I wasn't saying yes men. I was specifically meaning Kyle Walker. These people attract the yes men, and that's no good for me either.
Well, you mean the hangers on, Rod?
I'm not talking about these Premier League players now. I'm talking about that.
I'm talking
about that. I'm just trying to clarify at the minute, because at the end of the day, I couldn't give two fucks about Kyle Walker, to be honest. I'm talking about what I was saying, I'm just trying to clarify what we're talking about, because at the end of the day, there's proper professional footballers that conducted themselves well all through, and they've gone through it like I did. We've gone through the YTS scheme. We've earned £24 a fucking week. Yeah, these kids now are fucking thousands. You know what I mean? And I've been through it all my life, and I've been in it all my life. That's all I've ever done. So what I'm trying to say is, these players that have gone through, Rod, they might not have had no one to talk to. That's all I'm saying. They might not have had no one to talk to, you know. So they go into this insular capsule, and then they implode, and then all of a sudden, and it happened to one of the boys at Leighton Orient as well, and he was an unbelievable player as well. And I've seen it quite a few times, and they just implode, and because the clubs back then didn't know how to deal with it, managers didn't know. There was none of this liaison officers and all this psychology. There was none of that then. It was.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
He's having a bad time. He's having a bad time. He's got to have a bit of time off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was 16 in Torquay, night Torquay, also on a YTS scheme, also on £27.50 a week, 400 miles away from your family.
Yeah.
No, everyone deals with it differently. I love being away.
But
some people can't deal with it. And, you know, now these clubs have got these people to talk to. Yeah, that I understand that bit. But there's some bits of people or footballers where they use it to get out of trouble or to make it as an excuse of their mental health, and it's just an excuse for some of them. But I understand that, yes, some of them do need it, and some of them are in the situations that you've explained.
Rod,
listen, what you've just said is fine, but what you said before, right, when you explained it, was I only needed one person and that was that. And all I was trying to explain was,
I should have really got into more detail about that. That's what obviously been grown up as from a child and gradually.
Some people ain't got that, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Some people ain't got the personality that you've got and not I've got. Do you know what I mean? That can deal with things and go, do you know what? I need to speak to X, Y, and Z about that. Just to put it past.
Yeah, but that's understandable. But a lot of them use it as excuse, and that's what I don't agree with. Because the ones that do need it,
we're not
they're
talking
the
about now. I was talking about then. That when I
I was in Torquay on my own. Right, I was no one to
I'm
talk
talking
to.
About. I'm talking about when we were playing. That's what I was saying. And then you've come on and said that. Do you know what I mean? If we want to talk about now, I'll have the row with you now about people now, and we'll be on the same fucking page. Don't worry about that.
I understand.
Listen, all this Manchester, London lot and all that Liverpool when I was up there and they fucking hate companies and all that. Listen, I'm telling you, we're all in the same game. They fucking hated it. They hated us up there. The Manx hated me up there. It's fucking murder. But I don't give two fucks because I'm fucking good at what I do. And I just fucking tell them. And the big thing about everything is up there, they try and fucking break you when you're up there, right? They try and break you when you're up there. And these kids now break. They break because they can't fucking handle it. And you're right in what you say. The word is snowflake. It's snowflake. And the biggest ones are the boys that come on loan. You can't say this, you can't say that, because they're from fucking this club, that club. Bruv, I fucking look after fucking people. I would say one of the biggest clubs in the world, which is up your end. Right, and I look after quite a lot of players, but all I'm trying to say, there's so many fucking snowflakes, right, that think they're protected because they're at a football club and they kick a ball, but they're no different to anyone at Halifax Town or Lee RMI or fucking what's the other club up there, Salford, anywhere like that. There's no one different. There's no one different, mate. They're all footballers at the end of the day. But they all fucking jump on the bandwagon. So I agree with you there, 110%.
So when do you think it all changed in terms of the perception of mental health? I mean, I think, was it you, LT, that mentioned player liaison officers and all that? When did you guys notice a change in the attitude from football clubs towards mental health? Rod?
It's difficult to say, really, but it's obviously creeped in with these academies and it's difficult to say, you know. It's just gradually got on and worse and worse and worse. It's just like health and safety and everything else that's going on in the world. You know, it's just getting a lot worse.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I mean, I can't...
I'll tell you. Listen, I'll tell you. Rod just said the fucking main thing, academies. I'm telling you now, right... All this bullshit starts with all this PC bollocks. Political correctness, right? Right, let's go back to it. Rod will know this. Okay, Rod, little Q&A, mate, all right? You're at Torquay, you're a YT. What did you used to do when you was pulled in fucking pre-season? What did you used to have to do? End of season, sorry. What did you have to
do? The first pre-season we had to get
End of season, you're still there, pros have gone home. What did you have to do?
Right, end of season, first, yeah? End of season, all right.
You'd have to do this start or the end. You've got to clean everything. I mean, the seats, the balls, everything. Everything
fucking
in
right.
the ground has
and
to be cleaned.
You had to paint it and all, didn't you?
Everything. Everything
there
that needed
you
doing, you were the caretakers.
And did you moan?
Well, no, it was part of your job.
Of course you fucking moan. Stop telling lies.
you moan with your mate.
Of course
you moan to the people who are doing it.
You fucking moan like fuck, so did I. But we did it, because if they call us moaning...
We all had different jobs. We had to
they
clean the balls on a daily basis. We had to mop and brush the changing rooms.
We had to clean the first team's training kit.
We had to do it all.
We had to do everything, mate. And that was end of season, so we had to do that, yeah? And then we had a little break, and then we come back pre-season, and then we had to fucking do it all again. And then we had to do it. And then we had to make sure that we washed the kit, and we had all our jobs. So two of us had to wash the kit. Another had to fucking dry it. Another had to do this, do that, do the toilet.
Yeah, it was none of this multiple kits. It was like
exactly.
You got two kits for the year. That was it.
We all had to do everything. But I tell you what, see these little fuckers now? They walk in with their fucking Louis Vuitton wash bags, right, under their fucking arm. Giving it to Billy Big Bollocks, getting out the old fucking A-class Merc on finance, yeah, right? So they're getting out of that, Bosch, training ground, filling $1 million, getting their Louis Vuitton wash bag underneath the old fucking right arm, walking up underneath the old wing, walking in, see the geezer on there, winking at the fucking security guard, going into the... They've got their own fucking training ground, these fuckers, right? They do not clean any boots... Right? They don't clean any boots. They're not allowed to clean boots. They're not allowed to do any cleaning. They're not allowed to fucking do anything. All they do is go, their kit is all laid out for them. The fuckers probably chuck it all over the floor and I'll wring their fucking necks and chokeslam them if I was the coach. Right? And I'll tell you what, honestly, they think they've made it and the 1% make it. The 1% make it. And the 1% are probably the ones that want to stay out there, practice, and then go and try and fucking interact and do well. But I tell you what, they're full of snowflakes, mate. And that's why these kids come out and they go, oh, no, I've been told to fuck off today by a coach or by a senior pro. Oh, I don't feel I'm coming today because I feel a little bit offended that someone swore at me.
What, you've had that?
No, I've seen it with players. I've seen it with players. They're coming in going, oh, no, I don't feel I could be in that group because the senior pros are being a bit too forceful and swearing. I said, well, we better fucking grab a pair of balls, son.
Okay, so, but LT, do you think that's maybe...
But the worst thing is the youth team manager comes over, who's a fucking melt, who's swallowed a book from the FA with his socks pulled up and his fucking shirt tucked in his shorts, right? And he comes over and he goes, oh, you can't talk like that. You can't say things like that. I go, do yourself a favour and fuck off, right? Because I ain't getting a sack over you. So do yourself a favour. You get your YTS player or your academy player to go and speak to fucking someone else because I'm not the person that you need to speak to.
Yeah, but Elsie,
I'm here to win fucking games.
Do you think this academy player has been advised by his agent or a family member to play this victim card?
Listen, don't even get me and Rod started on fucking agents. All right?
Oh, I've got all the time in the world, mate.
No, listen. That's for another night. Because listen, I'm fucked as it is. I need another drink. So the big thing is at the minute is the player. Yeah, these kids think they're invincible because they're told that they're going to be the next biggest thing. they're gonna Rod, jump in, mate. Please, please jump in.
Oh, it's the first example of one of the biggest players in the world, Pogba, with his agents running his mouth. Where, you know, who's running who here? You're his boss and he's running your... So that's, you know, perfect example. But yeah, there's so many more in lower leagues. It's just, and in non-league, it's fucking pathetic.
I've got a player, right? I was at a football club last season. And let's just talk about clubs. We're not going to mention club names. We're not going to mention players, right? But yeah, listen. This is just imagine this. I'm at a football club, right? And it's a very, very good football club. It's a very prestigious football club that gets players in and sells players for a lot of money, right? So we get a player come in, right? He's 19. He's played for England at 19s and under 20s, and in the I don't know if he won the World Cup with them. I'm not too sure. And he's come to us, and he's got an agent, and the boys from where you live, Rod, right? And,
yep.
This kid's unbelievable. And he's come to us. He doesn't play a fucking game. He doesn't play one game. He's on absolutely mega money. He's a lovely, 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 lovely kid. And he's just left to rot. And the agent has just fucking sold him out big time and just left him. And this kid was just left to rot. And do you know what? I don't even know what he's doing now. But this kid was the same age as my daughter, and he was on more money than me. And I was head of performance at this club, and he was on more money than me, and some, and some, and some, and some more. And he just didn't know what was going on. He just didn't know what was going on, this kid, and he was a baby. And he was just getting manipulated and manipulated and manipulated. And I don't even know where he is now. And I'll tell you everything about him, when we're off. But your eyes will pop out when I tell you who he was. But and I don't know where he is now. But what a player. I mean, played for England all his life, under 19s, under 20s, even when he was an under 18. And... God knows where he is, but his agent sold him out just for a pound note because of the club that he come from. And it's so, so sad because it's just ruined the kid. And you know what, Rod? He's probably playing non-league now. And if he is, I'm signing for a new club on Saturday. And I've just come back from abroad and I'm going down to London to sign a new football club full time for next season, and I want to know where he is because I want him. But at the end of the day, his agent is just mullered him, and I don't even know what he's doing. Do you know what I mean? It's so sad. But that's what happens with these kids. Some of the kids are good, but the thing is, because he's been at a Premier League football club for all his life. And he's been given everything, and he's played at the best, and he's been given everything, and he's never had to do nothing. He comes to the club that I was at, and where I'm very militant, where I am, and because I want my boys to be the biggest, I want them to be the best, the fittest, the fastest, pace, power, strength. I want them to have everything. I want them to have a strong mindset, and I've always proved myself on that. And the kid just loved it because he had someone that was driving him through it, like for the rest of the group. But he just got ruined through the manager, and he got ruined through the football club and just left to rot. And it was only me that was just trying to fucking keep him going and keeping him fit and his mind strong, because he was a baby. He's 19 at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean?
Rod, when you were at FC and at Salford, I'm sure there were quite a lot of players that had left United or City's academies and ended up at the club, were they treated any different, or did they behave any different from the rest of the squad?
No, because that's probably a too big a lead. The players that have played, it wasn't much of a culture shock back then, but there's a lot more of a culture shock to them now. But no, by the time, it's non-league training room was a brutal place to be. Not really. I've never come across it to myself, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Because I know LT's told a few stories in the past about certain players and the way that they've behaved and how he's kind of, how can I put it, LT? Punish them, so to speak. Rio Coca being one of them.
Nigel was all right. I mean, you got to remember, Nigel was 18, 19, and he was our captain at Wimbledon. Just when we come out of the Premier League into the Championship. So it was like a baptism of fire for Nige. And then he was our best player by far. And he just went on and done really well. But let's go back to the question that you asked Rod. Is there a culture shock for the kids coming in now? I think, yes, there is. Because obviously, we have kids come in from the Premier League. They do come in, Rod. They do give that bit of swag and all that. And then I just fucking hammer them. Like, fucking just destroy them straight away. And because at the end of the day, if they come in and give it the fucking big, and I've come in from, I don't know, Swansea, I've come in from Sheffield United, some of them have got a little bit about them. Yeah, and they've got a little bit about them, yeah, with their families, and they come in and go, right, I'm going to keep my head down, which you should do, as we would have done, yeah, if we went and trained with the first team, Rod, you keep your head down, didn't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of these kids come in from clubs, right, and they keep their head down. Some come in and give it the fucking Billy Big Bollocks, you know what I mean? Charlie Large Potatoes, and they come in and give it the big one. So they get fucking hammered straight away. They get fucking destroyed. Absolutely fucking hammered. Not by the players, because I'll fucking do it. And I'll do it in front of the group, so they feel like shit. And then that just brings them down to life a little bit. But that's just my style and what I've always done. You know what I mean? And I've been with some massive characters, as you have, Rod. Do you know what I mean? In football.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you've got... you're all in it together. But there's nobody bigger than the club, even if you're at a fucking Leighton Orient or a Torquay United. There's no player bigger than the club. And at the end of the day, you've got to fit in. But there is a hierarchy in that dressing room, as you well know, and you have to stick to it.
Yeah, I kind of nearly made the mistake, as a 16-year-old at Torquay in a circle, and I nutmegged one of the first year pros. Had just been given a pro contract, and this person was Darren Moore, who was 6 foot two, black centre half.
I know him very well.
And he whispered into my ear, "You do that again, and you never kick a ball at this club again." So, yeah, I learned pretty quickly never to do that again.
Yeah, I know him, mate. I know him very well. That's it.
Yeah, very, very, very quiet. Very nice lad. Very not violent at all. But he just quietly said, "Don't you ever do that to me again, or you'll never kick a ball again."
And he meant it as well. That's the thing. He meant it.
Oh, he did. He did mean it. Yeah, he did mean it. He thought, "I'm having this 16-year-old." You know. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Great stuff. All right, well, we've gone on for, 40 minutes. I've got something else I need to ask you guys, and this is a topic of discussion that's been rambling on for quite a while now, and that's racism in football. And the way that certain media outlets kind of, again, going back to the mental health thing, they use it as a vehicle to get themselves some self-promotion. I know there's a charity that's doing very well in terms of spreading the word, but... Again, I will say this, I'm blue in the face. I think there's certain people that follow this charity or do some voluntary work for this charity to get themselves noticed. and it happens quite a lot with certain podcasters as well, who get involved in Kick It Out and, you know, get their own little gigs here and there on TalkSport because they're some sort of ambassadors or mentors, when in actual fact they're doing it because they know that it'll get them some traction. In terms of what you guys have experienced in the game, racism-wise, and how people are using it for their own agendas, so to speak, or their own methods of getting places, have you seen it quite a bit?
Listen, I don't give a muggies, mate. I'll tell you. Listen, whatever we say about this, I'm a white English male, and whatever I say about it, actually, I'm half Welsh, so I'm English and Welsh because my mum's Welsh. So, at the end of the day, whatever I say about this, I need to be careful because there's too many fucking snowflakes out there. But listen. It's very, very easy for people to use the race card. And it has always been very, very easy for people to use the race card when their chips are down or when they know they're fucking, they're struggling, they're in the wrong or whatever, they can use that. And I'm sorry to say that they can, but for the average white person, what happens? At the end of the day, they get chastised. They don't get nothing. At the end of the day, so. But there's other people out there that just do it to jump on the bandwagon, to get on the press, and to use it. And players use it too much now. Players use it too much. But I've been very, very fortunate in my career. Very fortunate in my career that every person that I've worked with in professional football have kind of never gone down that route. And I'm very, very lucky because I can say 28 years in the game, I've seen so much racism from managers and staff and so, and the kind of like the outcome of players in the group have kind of, they've just took it when they shouldn't have took it, but they haven't kind of made a big doodah about it. But then what they've done is they've gone and that they stand up and have the row with the manager instead of putting it out in the press. They have a fight in the dressing room. You can't say that. And then they have a fight in the dressing room, or they have a fight at the training ground, or if a player and a player have a disagreement and it comes to blows, have a fight in the dressing room, a fight. I'm telling you, this is what happens. And this is how it used to happen. And it was fine. Do you know why? Because it was dealt with. It was dealt with. It wasn't accepted. Racism, I would say, never's been accepted, but it's been dealt with. And it was dealt with in a man's way, not in a fanny way of going through all these legalities and third party stuff. So I say to, I don't know, for instance, I say something about Rod, yeah, and Rod don't hear me. Sorry, Rod hears me. I say something to Rod, and then he don't take a blind bit of notice. He just goes, "Oh, fucking bollocks." But then still, you turn around and go, "That's highly offensive. I'm going to report you." And it's a third party bollocks. Yeah? That never used to happen because it used to be a tear-up. You used to go, yeah, just get the gloves out. Just have a tear-up. And then all of a sudden, it was all right. Do you know what I mean? And you could... My dad was on the other week talking to you on the podcast. Clyde Best.
Yep. I remember that story,
one of the
yeah.
first black footballers in the Premier League, which was Division 1 then, for West Ham. He used to get abuse from 60,000 Stoke City, Man United, fucking Liverpool, whoever you want, Arsenal supporters, right? And they chuck bananas at him, right? So my dad always told me this story. He said, I think they played, I don't know who they played, it was someone up north, they played, and they were chucking. Clive went over to take a corner, and they were chucking bananas at him, right? So, and you asked me dad this, and he went, my dad and Johnny McDowell, or Trevor Brookie, went over, and then they looked at the crowd, picked the bananas up, started peeling them and eating them, right? And then threw them back at the crowd, right? Threw the skins back in the crowd, and then they carried on playing. But that's I'm not saying that's the right way, but that's how they used to deal with it, because it didn't matter who's in the team, black, white, fucking anyone. You're a team. You're a fucking team, mate. You're a team. You're a human being. You shit the same, you bleed the same. And the big thing now is it's not dealt with. I'm not saying fighting should be dealt with like that. I'm not saying that. But back in the day, it was like, if you had a row, you have it out with someone. You have it out. You have a conversation. But now, it's not. It's third party. Oh, I'm talking to my agent. The agent rings fucking the geezer up, who we know. And then all of a sudden, you're on fucking Sky Sports News. So that's a load of bollocks, honestly. It's a load of bollocks. You just need to sort it. If it's the supporter giving it the big one, and that's racism, that's fine. But within the club and all that, it's too easy. And then it goes back to the mental health thing. Oh, I've been picked on because I'm black. I've been picked on because I'm Jewish. I've been picked on because I'm fucking Greek. I've been picked on because I'm a white British male. Do you know what I mean? But it's true, though. It's true. It's true.
Well, look, the main thing that I've been saying for a good while now is...
Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, tell me if I'm wrong, mate.
Shoot me down and tell me. Because I'll always tell me the truth, my experience. That's what it's like.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what? Listen, the most volatile places in the world, if you're not used to being in a dressing room, you're fucked. Because that is the most... You are going to be eaten alive by a load of lions if you're not a lion. Am I wrong, Rod?
No, you are, yeah. No, you're not. You can't, sorry.
You just fucking... You need to be... Honestly, you're going to get fucking eaten alive. And you need to be strong enough to take it. And if you're not, then you're a snowflake and you're going to have mental health issues. And people are going to go, oh, I think I'm having a nervous breakdown because someone called me a cunt today. Do you know what I mean? He's fucking ruthless in a dressing room. And I'm the worst one. I nail people. Because at the end of the day, I'm fucking 5'7" I've got no fucking hair. And if I don't get in first, some other cunt is. So I'm fucking going to get into them.
You know, the thing is, LT, yeah, I get what you're saying. But the thing is, when you talk about reporting racism and all that kind of stuff, how else? I mean, I completely understand what you're saying in terms of dealing with it internally and not having to go through a third party, etc., etc. But when it comes to, say, racism from fans, when it comes to just little things here and there, people, like, for example, we had Kenwyn Jones on a few weeks ago, and he was saying that some of his teammates broke into his locker, put a pig's head in there, when they knew full well that his missus was Muslim. And obviously, if you're from the West Indies, a pig is seen as a disgusting animal, and it's a highly offensive thing to do. So how else would you deal with it? I mean, surely you've got to go through some correct channels and do things that by the book, no?
That's fucking extreme, though, isn't it?
Of course.
Listen. All jokes aside, now that's extreme, but. On another flip side, and I'm going to put this on its head now, and I don't care. I'm going to put it on its head. That there, what you just said, is totally, totally unacceptable and is very, very extreme. But that would have been funny back in our day. That would have been funny. And do you know why it would have been funny? because it would have been accepted, because it wasn't, nothing was dramatised and as PC and put out in the media. See, if the media get involved, which they have done, yeah, right, that it implodes the big bomb. It implodes everything. All right,
to do it's like the old story with the norm.
Rod, did that used to be the norm? Not that. Yeah, extreme.
You heard the old story with Gascoigne and Ali McCoy stuck in training because they're having treatment. They buy a load of fish and stick it in Gordon Drury's car.
Stinking for days.
You know, that's kind of funny. Pig headed.
I'll give you one, Rod. I joined Wimbledon in the Premier League, yeah? I was physio. I joined Wimbledon. I've gone now. And I don't know if I've told this story to you still. I don't think I have, but I went in the first day. I seen the kit girls, and I went, "Hello, ladies." I said, "My name's Lee. I'm the new physio." Blah blah blah. I went in and met Bobby Childs, who's now the managing director or something of. I think he's at Sutton United. Bobby Childs, top man, right? And me and him were the physios there. So I've gone in now, and I've gone, "All right, Bob." He said, "Yeah." He said, "There's." I said, "Where's the boys?" He said, "Well, there's two dressing rooms." I said, "There's the dressing rooms over there, and there's the dressing rooms over there. And I'm not going to go into that there." But he went, "Just be careful." He said, "Just get changed in here today." I went, "All right, Bob, yeah, no problem." So I did take the notice of him, and I would have got changed in the referee's room where the rest of the staff was, right? So at that time, right, I had a lovely fucking Adidas velour tracksuit. It was the bollocks, by the way. Do you know, you remember them velour ones? It was a blue one. Oh, I felt a fucking $1 million in it, by the way. Right? So, I had the old zip up the back. Fucking looked tremendous. So, anyway, I've got it. Anyway, so I thought, I can smell something. And a couple of the boys come in, they went, "Oh, I think we've got a fire, LT." And I thought, how the fuck do you know my name when you haven't even met me yet? They've got all my gear, they've got it outside on a line, and they're burning it.
They've burned me
fucking brand new tracksuit, me Claire Rainers, right? Me fucking pants and me socks, right? They've even burnt me fucking baseball cap, right? Me new fucking Louis Vuitton one. I'm fucking devastated, right? It burnt everything, right? So, having a pig's head in your locker, fuck that, I had all my fucking gear burnt. That was about 300 quid's worth, that. I was fucking devastated. By the way, the app was moody, so I can't put that one in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing ever like that ever happened. Anything like that ever happened to me, someone's car would have gone missing, so... No one's brave enough to do that to me. Someone's car would have gone missing.
Everyone's fucking gear got burned. Fucking hell. If you had a bastard fucking T-shirt on, that would have been hung up and burnt at Wimbledon. They were the crazy people.
That was the bantering for with them in them days.
Listen. That was just the tip of the iceberg, my fucking pedigree chum, I'm telling you. It was fucking horrendous. So I would have had 10 nervous breakdowns at that football club, right? But you had to have balls of steel. Do you know what I mean? It was fucking terrible. So now the people ain't gonna last 2 minutes at clubs now, and they don't. And they're protected because all this HR bollocks as well. "Oh, you can't say that. If you call me an arsehole, if you call me a cunt, I'll fucking burst into 1,000 pieces. It's like fucking Mickey Flanagan, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's a fucking nightmare. They're a nightmare.
Hey, LT, let me ask you something. Yeah, I don't think I've asked you this before. And I don't know if you know the answer, but whatever. You mentioned players that are protected, right? Some might say that John Terry was protected a lot by the FA over the Anton Ferdinand incident. Do you know much about that?
I can't answer that question because I don't know nothing about it. Um, but we've all got our ideas and our ethos on the FA, Pull Up Your Socks Brigade. And you've only got to see the people that work for the FA, really. Mm. They're a law runner to themselves, and they're kind of like the, yeah, well, less said the better, really. Mm. Less said the better.
Fair enough. It's only because I was talking to someone about Ashley Cole today, and they were asking me, like, what's going on with Ashley Cole and Rio Ferdinand, because I know Rio Ferdinand doesn't talk to John Terry, neither does Anton, and they're all supposed to be good mates. And Ashley Cole was right in the middle of it all, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know. I heard about that as well, and read something about that. But there was something in the media a little while ago with regards to Rio and John Terry over the Anton over his brother, which was a little bit shady.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things do get covered a little bit. There's plenty. What you see in the media is just a scraping of what goes on and what gets covered up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was going to say the funny thing, there's nothing funny about it, but the strange thing about this whole thing is that, you know, Leon Knight is a good friend of the show. He was at Senrab with John Terry. And even says to this day, John Terry is not racist. No. And obviously you got other people saying, well, because of that incident and because of other little things here and there, he is. But, you know, I think the only people that know the truth are John Terry and Anton Ferdinand. They're the only two people that know the truth.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I don't know John Terry. I know his brother very well, Paul Terry.
Because he was at Yeovil, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. I know Paul really well, and I don't speak to him all the time, but we do chat. And I can say from Paul, because he was at Leighton Orient with me back in the day, if I take Paul from anything from his brother, no way on God's earth. They're a lovely family, good boys, and as I said, I don't know John. I've never met him. I don't know him for a bar of soap, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've never ever spoke to him or met him, but I can say through Paul, if he's anything like Paul, good as gold.
Fair enough.
I've met him once in Manchester, right. And he was with a person I know, and he is the blackest person I know who's against racism, and actually who John Terry was with.
There you go then.
Okay.
So I can't see him being racist, because the lad who he was with, he is proper against racist people, and that's who he was with.
There you go then, Stel. There's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of incidents we've seen in the past. We've seen, obviously, the Daily Mail and the way that they kind of... Yeah, sensationalised things. You know what, a lot of the time I think the Daily Mail try and just get more viewers or people buying the rags with all the stuff that they print about Raheem Sterling and other footballers. And, you know, you hear about Graeme Souness having digs at Pogba, and I keep saying this, Souness has got someone in his ear telling him to do it because he gets Sky Sports traction. So no matter how much we talk about racism and how it should be kicked out, so to speak, the media outlets ain't helping one bit because they're only fueling it.
Stel, what fuels it is a policeman standing on a black man's neck for 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. Well, I'm talking in football, Rod.
but it's not a football thing, Stel, it's a society problem. Mm. It's not just a football problem, it's a world, it's a society problem. And that's where it needs to be fixed before it gets fixed in football.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right, mate. You're right. I mean, all you see on social media, as Rod just said, and let's not get pulled away from what we're talking about, but let's just put in perspective, as Rod just said. There's the thing going on in America at the minute, isn't it, with the looting and for the fella that got shot. But let's just put it like that. Let's just put that in context. What Rod's just said is is a society where the police are literally just targeting everyone black and treating everyone. When do you ever see a white person get taken down to the floor for nothing with a knee on the side of their head? You don't, do you? You don't. You don't see it. You might. We don't see it in the media, do you? But every time you see it, it's in the media, and it's always a black person, like it has been in America, with a knee on their head or over here. It's disgusting. So, it's as Rod said. It just fuels the fire. Let's just put it like that.
And you're always going to see it, because instead of pleading for the guy to get off him, someone's going to put the phone out and video it.
Of course they are, because they're scumbags videoing it in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is, at the end of the day, that video evidence is enough to put these guys away. And
Yeah, but
did you see the one today where the guy was on the floor and... He was on the floor for a good 2 or 3 minutes, and old Bill around him with guns, and the woman is filming it, and she's like, he's standing still, he's still, he's not arguing, he's not doing anything, and then his grandmother gets in the way, and they start beating her up.
Yep.
Without that evidence, without that video evidence, you know, we'd have been none the wiser. You imagine if video evidence was, you know, if people had camera phones 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, the amount of stuff they would have found.
I know, listen. I'll have a row of you on this one, because at the end of the day, there's scumbags that do it for the fun of it, and there's do-gooders. So there's the good and the bad. So it cancels it out. But at the end of the day, I mean, what are they doing there in the first place? Filming it. Do you know what I mean? That's just my opinion. At the end of the day, it shouldn't be happening, should it? They shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
Yeah. No, well,
they should be doing the first bite.
There you go. Right. One more thing before we wrap the show up, because we've gone on for bloody hell over an hour. Premier League is starting again. Football is resuming in England next couple of weeks. To be fair, I'm actually tired of it already. I've seen so many stories on social media and gone back and forth about, oh, you know, players are back in training, but they don't know if they're going to start again. LT, you said you got a new role. Have you heard anything about, you know, when you're going to kick things off, or
No, not yet. I'm going down to London on Saturday to meet the new manager. He's coming over from Germany, and I'm going in as a head of high performance role, which is Nyron. I'm just going in as number two, really, and running the other sort of bits and pieces, and meeting the CEO. But we don't know at the moment when we're kicking off. I don't think it's going to be that far away, to be honest. But I mean, I'm just pleased that the Premier League's going to eventually start again, to get an eventuality for that, because there's too much money within the league, where it being one of the best leagues in the world, the best league in the world, should I say, that needs to finish.
You just want to see your old team win the league. Come on now, just say it.
What's that?
You just want to see your old team win the league. Just say it. Come on.
It was only a pound note to me, son.
Well, you got no loyalties with any other club now? Come on.
Absolutely not.
Really?
It pays me wages, and it pays for the family. That's all it does, mate.
Yeah, but surely you sit back and you sometimes reflect on the good days.
I love my career, and I've still got a long way to go, and you know what I'm like, mate. I'll go wherever the pound note is. So it doesn't really matter to me. I could be in Qatar next week.
Take me with you.
I won't be coming back if I am. I'll be flying you and Rod out with me.
Let's go.
But where we are now, listen, I love it doesn't matter what league I'm in. I've always been full time, and we eat, live, breathe, and shit it, don't we? But no, I just love watching good football, mate. To be honest, I just love my boy. He's been in the academy system since he was six. He started at Liverpool when he was six, and in the pre-academy, and he's been all the way through. And he's probably gonna. He just said to me, he's got two Premier League clubs that want him. And he said, Dad, I don't want to do it. I just want to do my schooling. I don't want to go to America and get a scholarship in America, because I've got a better chance in America than being a professional over there than I have here. And then there's two Premier League football clubs want him. So at the end of the day for me, it's about just enjoying football. And he's a massive Man United supporter. I mean, a massive Man United supporter, and I try and take him up there as much as I can. But it's hard when you're in the football league or something or out of the country in another league, you know. So
great stuff, Rod. I don't know if you were doing a piss, but
no, I was washing my hands, sorry.
I heard the tap running. I thought, hang about, is he actually doing a piss or is he washing his hands?
No, I'm just washing my hands again.
He's fucking bored of us.
No, listen, there have been times where Rod has been at Tesco doing shows. He's been at the self-service till. And I'm not even lying.
I'm in the bath. I'm in the bath as well.
Fucking rogue.
No, that one we were at the self service till at Tesco when we were recording the Premier League review. I'm hearing beeping.
I love it.
Rod, you excited for the return of the Premier League? Because I'm fed up with Bundesliga talk, man. I'm fucking fed up with it.
Yeah, like I said before we come on there, I lasted about 30 minutes for that Bundesliga. It's just with no fans, and I didn't even watch Bundesliga as it is, so. Yeah, I'll wait, but yeah, it's a good something to look forward to, you know.
But we ain't gonna have fans either, are we?
Yeah, we're not gonna have fans, but you know, we'll have invested interest. German football. Who gives a shit about German football?
It's fucking shit, Rod.
Oh
no!
I'd rather have a fucking leg off.
Oh, the hipsters are coming for you.
No, even Spanish, I can barely, I could probably watch Italian back in the 90s, but they were top teams back in them days. I'm never a big foreign watcher of football. The internationals I'll watch, but yeah, it's always about the Premier League.
They'd spend more time on the fucking deck.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. On that note,
let's... No, but you know... Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, Karen.
No, go on.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Say it. Spit it out.
No, it's gone.
No, for crying out loud. Yeah, so that's it, really. On that note, let's call it a night, ladies and gents. LT, Rod, thanks for jumping on. Twitter handles, LT.
Hello?
What's your Twitter thing?
On my Twitter? Yeah. What am I, PhysioFix Sport tonight? PhysioFix Sports. And the website is a bit of a mouthful. It's all the W's, PhysioFixSportsPerformance.com. And my Twitter's that, and the Instagram's that as well. It's at PhysioFix Sports, I think.
Great stuff.
Brilliant. Man.
Rod?
Rod James Higgs.
Lovely. We're on Twitter at Shoot Defence. We also have an Instagram. I don't even know anymore. So until next time, goodbye.